Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
How's everybody doing post-faith camp? Did anybody have a bit of a rough week post-faith camp?
Yes!
Interesting, isn't it? Interesting. But God's still good, yeah?
Yes.
And the truth is still the truth?
Yes.
And you push through?
Yes.
You got the victory?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. So, Angus, could we have the scriptures up, please, mate? Yeah, I was a bit disappointed I didn't get all the books of the Bible. I was telling Angus. But, yeah, there we go. We've got quite a few scriptures today, so I won't be hanging around. So, if you want to preempt me and look them up in your Bibles, then you can do. And if you just want to listen to me and go along with the ride, that's fine as well. Right, so here we go. We're going to start off in Matthew chapter 28, as you can see. Very familiar chapter to us, all very familiar scriptures, called the Great Commission. I'm taking some material from Andy Elms and some from Aaron James, so I've got to give credit where credit is due. And yeah, I've pinched some of that, but there's nothing new under the sun, so I've no problem with that. Excellent. Right, so it's an ancient and an unchanging call that comes to us from Matthew. It hasn't changed. The Great Commission is still a Great Commission until Jesus comes again. And this is what he had to say to his disciples, and this is what he has to say to us. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Now, Andy Elms, when he was at Faith Camp, he was talking about two different types of Christians, two different types of people that there are on the earth. I'm just going to call it two at this moment. So, and Jesus, he ministered to the crowd, and he also ministered to the disciples, but they were at two different kind of levels. So what I want to do is just take a few thoughts and see what is the difference between the two types of people. You know, when we read through the Gospels, when we read through the Bible, we see that there was crowds that followed Jesus everywhere. Thousands of them, thousands of people flocked to where Jesus was. So he fed 5,000 men, and including women and children. Some people say it probably got somewhere near 15,000 people. But the difference between the crowd and the disciples was that the disciples were the ones that were doing the feeding, and the crowd were the ones that were getting fed. So there is a distinction between those who call themselves disciples and those who say, "Yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus." But the disciples, they get something from Jesus to give. And you know, that is God's call for us. It's not just to be saved, although that is the first step, of course. You know, be converted, it says in certain versions of the Bible. That's your first step in discipleship. But God has got so much more for us than just becoming a Christian and enjoying being saved and thinking to yourself, yeah, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and walk the streets of gold. God has got so much for us. In fact, true living doesn't really start until we find out what it is that God has got for us. And we do that when we become God's disciples. So the crowd like God's gifts, but disciples love the giver. It's a good distinction there, isn't it? Okay, disciples change the world, and the crowd watch it go by. Jesus, his call is for believers to be disciples. This is a great quote by Andy Elms. I loved it. He said, "Not to be a disciple is to live in resistance to Jesus." That's a humdinger, isn't it? Okay, so we're going to Colossians next, chapter 2. Trouble is, when you've got so many scriptures, it's hard to find which one you're going to next, but it gets easier towards the end. Right. And so this is the kind of thing that goes on in a disciple's life. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to live in obedience to him. Let your roots grow down into him and draw up nourishment from him. So you will grow in faith, strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Let your lives overflow with thanksgiving for all that he has done. Now, it's a good thing about God. God is not exclusive. Anybody can be a disciple. You know, I know you might find this hard to believe, but I'm not actually everybody's cup of tea. I mean, I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? You know, I mean, what's there not to love, you know? Can't understand it. But people being people, you know, we have certain traits that we like in others, isn't there? We can get on with others who perhaps are a bit more like ourselves, or the people that can chat, like to get alongside other people that can chat, etc. All right, people are people, and so they say birds of a flever. I never heard that one before. Birds of a feather flock together. That's better. Okay, so we have our favourites, but the good news is that God, he's not that fussy. He loves us no matter who we are, okay? But God, he'll never go beyond our stubbornness. All right, it's up to us how close we live with God. We can live as close to God as we want to. You know, God is prepared to come. God draws near to those who draw near to him, the Bible tells us. A disciple doesn't say, this far, God, and no further. A disciple says, come on, God, whatever you want, I want to do it. So I'm going to come to one of my main points here. Disciples are givers, and the crowd are takers, and that includes financially, which is going to come to one of my main points. I'm going to be talking a little bit about money and about finances. I was praying through it yesterday. I was thinking, really, God, do you really want me to talk about this? But that was all that was coming to me, so you're going to get it, whether you like it or not. Here we go. All right, you want it. You want it. Okay, you asked for it. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. You know, finances do affect so much of our life, don't they? You know, it's what puts food on our plates and a roof above our heads, etc. You know, and we need to make sure that we're including God in our finances. And I got a lot of this material from Aaron Jane. He was speaking at Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. And if you want to listen to the podcast, he's got some great teaching. I don't know what he actually taught at the at Faith Camp, because I wasn't there for that session. It might be the same stuff. I don't know. Keith tells me it was very good. Okay. So here we go. 8 and 9. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. So I want to say that the mark of a disciple is that they are generous and that they give to others. Now, there's two types of wealth. There's the world's wealth, and that referred to by Jesus a couple of times as mammon. I know I spoke on this before a while back. But and then there is God's type of wealth, and he calls it the redeemed wealth, and it's got God's blessing upon it. So let's look at Luke. I sound like a scouser, don't I? Hey, Luke. All right, Luke chapter 16, 10 to 13. Jesus talking about money, as he often did, if you read your Bibles. Okay. Unless you are faithful in small matters, you won't be faithful in large ones. If you cheat even a little, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with money of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and Mammon, was the literal translation there. So it says God and money in a lot of people's Bibles, I'm sure. But the translation of that is Mammon. It's a word from ancient Babylonia. They used to worship a god of wealth, and he was called Mammon, referred to as Mammon. And the Bible kind of shows us that it was connected with wealth and connected with greed. So Aaron Jane was talking about the two types of wealth that there are in the world. Basically, wealth and greed, they're about and they're alive and well today. As I'm sure we're all very fully aware, as we look at banking scandals, this, that, and the other, everywhere around in the world, you know, there is filthy lucre, there is unredeemed wealth, and it runs the world. People say money makes the world go round. In a way, it does. This world system is run a lot by greed. Even our capitalist society, a lot of our utility companies, for instance, may be seen as living off of greed, etc. But there's actually a spirit behind it all. Okay, it's a very strong spirit that is prevalent in the world, and in fact, in the end days, if you've studied your Bibles at all, you will see talks about the mark of the beast, and no one is going to be able to buy things without having the mark of the beast upon them. So it's going to be an interesting time for those of us who are believers, those who are still on the earth, depending on your theology, who are believers, and you won't be able to buy anything without having the mark of the beast upon you. Okay, so you can see how the enemy will kind of rule the world through finance and steer the world through finance. And so it's alive and it's kicking in the world today. And can this kind of spirit affect believers? Well, the Bible teaches us, yes, it can. Let's have a look in 1 Timothy 6:8 to 10. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is at the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So you can see that it could even affect believers. The spirit of greed can get into believers if we are not careful. And if you're familiar with The Lord of the Rings, it could be a bit like The Ring and Gollum, my precious. The money, my precious. I can't do it properly, but anyway. Okay, we've got to be very careful that we don't let wealth over affect us. Yeah, we want it to be for God's kingdom. So what does God do? What does God do to redeem money? He creates a test. And that test is called, anybody know?
Tithing.
Top of the class, tithe. Yes, tithe. And tithe means a tenth. Some folks might try and tell you differently, but tithe means tenth. Okay. So a tithe redeems your wealth and can turn it around for God's blessing. We believe that, do we not?
Yes.
I certainly do anyway. Okay. So here's the difference. The devil uses money to ensnare people, but God uses it to set people free.
Yes.
Through things like generosity. Robert Maxwell, he's a great Christian guy who's involved in the business world as well. He says, financial freedom gives you options. Yeah, and I'm into that. Financial freedom gives you options. It's good to have options, to be able to bless, to be able to see the kingdom of God grown and established on the face of the earth. We tithe, first of all, because God says so. One of Keith's favorite scriptures. Where am I going, Keith? That's the one, Malachi 3:10. Let's see what it's got to say. I'm sure Keith could quote it off the top of his head. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord Almighty, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it, let me prove it to you. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. That's good, isn't it? Your grapes will not shrivel before they are ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight. There's an interesting part of the scripture where in there. It talks about food in the house. So people who don't or won't tithe, do you think that the church biscuits just kind of like turn up like from manna from heaven? You know, do you think they just kind of like float down each day and kind of suddenly turn up there? I've got some information for you. They actually turn up because people tithe. And you know, the tea and the coffee that we drink there, do you suppose maybe Pastor Shane's got a Moses-like staff upstairs, and he goes outside and he bangs a rock, and all of a sudden, tea and coffee flow from it. Got some news for you guys. That's not the way it happens. It actually gets paid for by folks who are tithing. It's got to be bought. Okay. You know, are the lights that we're sitting under here, the light of heaven? Or do we actually have to pay our electricity bill? Yeah, we've got to pay our electricity bill. And all that comes basically through the tithes and the offerings that we put into this place. Makes you want to ask the question, if you're not tithing, you're not giving offerings, will you still enjoy your biscuits after the service? Okay. Food for my house. So here's a question. Is God hungry? God isn't hungry. Okay. Right. Nobody likes to feed his workers. All right. When we were talking Old Testament, we were talking about the priests and the Levites. Those were the ones who would have been the receivers of the food that came into the house. Yeah, it was offered to God, but it was also there to be able to feed the workers, the Levites, in the days of the Old Testament. You want to bring that into a New Testament context? We're going to do that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 9 to 11. And see what that's got to say to us. Where's verse 9 gone? I swear it's moved. Right. Ah, look, there it is. For the law of Moses says, do not keep an ox from eating as it treads out the grain. Do you suppose God was thinking only about oxen when he said this? Wasn't he also speaking to us? Of course he was. Just as farm workers who plowed fields and threshed the grain expect a share of the harvest, Christian workers should be paid by those they serve. We have planted good spiritual seed among you. Is it too much to ask in return for mere food and clothing? And of course the answer to that is no. Alright, so the tithe is there for our employed Christian workers, especially our pastors, who we've been taught in the past are worthy of double honor. Okay, see, a disciple has learned that 9/10 with God is more than one whole. See, God can defy the laws of mathematics. He's good like that. I'm certain that many of us have been able to prove that true. In fact, I know certainly in America, there are companies who are run by non-believers that have tapped into the idea of tithing. And they actually give away a tenth of the profits that they have. And they've found out that God's blessing has come upon them because of that. And they're actually earning even more because it's a principle of God. And if you put into effect the principles of God, it's going to work within your life. And that's what big businesses have found, even those that wouldn't profess to be Christians. People who say they can't afford to tithe haven't realized it's because they haven't tithed. Okay. Because that's why they've got nothing to give, because they're finding out that God is not blessing them so that they have excess. Okay, I want to bring a couple of words of encouragement to you now. Be generous with God, and he is going to be generous with you. A disciple finds out you can take God at his word and it's going to come true. Now, I don't know whether you've ever been to my house. For those of you who do, I'm sure you've admired my garage door. It's a cracking garage door. I just love my garage door. It's great. You know, it was a gift. I push a button, and if by magic, it starts to roll up automatically. It's great. You know, I'm just sat there in the house and push the button. I can hear it whirring away outside. And as I walk through the back door before the alarm goes off, there it is. It's open for me, as if by magic. It's the pride of Beachway, I'm telling you. No one down Beachway's done that. They all stand there looking at it. Just gonna look at Steve's garage door. I wish I had one like that. What a blessing. But what am I going on about? Okay, when we tithe and give, it sends out a faith signal to heaven, and the windows start coming open over your life, and God's provision starts to flood out towards you. Okay, so God always meets our step of faith, and something that we give to him, he will meet it. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. You enjoying this?
Yes.
Excellent. I am too. Right. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you. A full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. So God always meets something that we are prepared to give. He's given us Jesus. That was his move to us, yeah? And he wants to move back to us. He wants to see us moving back to him. So as soon as we make a move to him, he's going to meet that again. So we move to God in faith. Excellent. Right. You know if money has got a hold on you, if you can't let it go. Okay. If you're a giver, you can trust God to provide. Now, it was Abraham. We've already heard about that in a prayer this morning. It was Abraham who found out that God is a great giver. And his name, one of his names in the Old Testament was Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. Okay, and his name hasn't changed. He's still the same. Okay, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will never change. He's always going to be our great provider. When we step out in faith, he's going to meet that faith. Matthew chapter 6, 30 and 34. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Circumstances may change, but God doesn't. Okay, do we believe it?
Yes.
Do we believe that or not?
Yes.
Good, you can stand on it. It's a fact. Okay, he hasn't let you down so far, has he?
No.
Is he going to let you down in the future?
No.
What are you worried about then?
No.
Excellent, I'm glad to hear it. Psalm 37, verse 25. Once I was young, and now I am old. It's not a personal testimony. Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. Say never.
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 Say it like Ian Paisley. Never.
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 Say it like Winston Churchill.
Never.
Never. Very good. I've got to stop messing around now. So a bit of personal testimony from Faith Camp. Pastor Colin stitched us all up on it. Was anybody there Friday morning when Pastor Colin was doing his session? He said, last night's offering was a record offering.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Last night's offering was a record offering, and quite a few people went, whoop, 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 whoop. He says, you're all going to have to repent now. It's the worst one we've ever had. And everybody kind of shrank down in their chairs. But basically, they did a second offering, and it was one of those times where I was thinking, with my own personal circumstances, being self-employed, holiday time, things like that, I got such a mean boss. See, when I'm on holiday, he doesn't pay me. Aww. I know, it's a hard life, isn't it? But anyway, so we kind of set aside some money to be able to give, and then the second offering came up. I thought, okay, I'm going to have to push the boat out here, even though realistically couldn't afford to do it. I kind of put a certain amount in, just trusting that God was going to come through, said a prayer, put it in, and he always kind of, you ever tried to second guess God? Kind of do it all the time. How's God going to do this one then? How's he going to? Perhaps he's going to provide in this way. Perhaps he's going to provide in that way. And he never does it the way you think. I think he must enjoy it. Just being so creative. God is such a creative God. But we found out that I can't remember. It was the government, basically. The government gave us a nice big juicy check, and it paid for quite a few of our bills and managed to wipe out the debts that had been accrued during the holiday time. And God comes through again. Praise God. Yeah. Okay, we're going to kind of move away from finances now. Just a couple of short other points. The traits of a disciple. Right, a disciple is attentive to their teacher's words and deeds. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. I'm in Matthew, which is no good. So, here we go. Right, dear friends, you all were so careful to follow my instructions when I was with you. And now I'm away from you, you must be even more careful to put into action God's saving work in your lives, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire to obey him and the power to do what pleases him. Now, if you know who's writing this is actually a man, Paul, that is saying this thing. It says, you were all so careful to follow my instructions. So we all should know by now that it's good. God has given us people. God has given us leaders over us, and we're to obey their words and we're to obey their instructions. Now, it's not a very popular message in the world that we live today. We all like to be independent. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But the Bible always smacks in the face of the world, doesn't it? And a disciple realizes that God has given us leaders that are to be obeyed. And what else? A disciple is going to get to know secrets from God that the crowd won't get. We're off to Matthew now, chapter 13. Does anybody like secrets? Good secrets? Just me then. All right. I want to tell you a secret. I like secrets. Shh. All right. But so Jesus here, he's talking to his disciples, the 12. And here is what he says. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you always tell stories when you talk to people?" Then he explained to them, "You have been permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others have not. To those who are open to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But to those who are not listening, even what they have will be taken away from them." Now, Pastor Shane, he gave us a great message recently about hearing from God, and hearing from God for yourself. Now, he could do that because he himself is a disciple and he's got the call of God upon his life. And God told him a secret that he was to keep quiet. He admitted openly it was quite hard to keep it under his hat, but he managed to do so. Yeah, it was a good secret, but now the secret's out. Yeah, that thing that God told him was he was going to be the pastor of Elohim Church. And we know that's coming to pass later on in September. But I want to let you guys into a secret. You're listening, okay? God wants to tell you secrets as well. Okay, he wants to speak to you like that. He wants to tell you secrets about your future, about the things that he wants to do within your life. Are you there? Are you that disciple that is listening to the voice of God so that you can hear him? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Ask me and I will tell you some remarkable secrets about what is going to happen here." God's secrets are there for his disciples. If you're a Christian, you've heard the voice of God. Yeah? It was he who convinced you of your need of him. But that was just the beginning. He's got more that he wants to tell you. Briefly, one last trait of a disciple. They produce after their own kind. Yeah? Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations." You know, and that's what we're about. That's the call on Elohim Church. We're here to make disciples. Doesn't matter what we see going on around us. Doesn't matter if there's any evidence to the opposite. We're called to make disciples. That call is still upon us. It's on every single one of us. Disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to get to know people, convince them of their need of a Savior. And once they get caught in God's net, then they got to be taught, okay? All you need to be is one lesson in front of the person that you're teaching, all right? We don't have to know everything there is in the Bible, every scripture. You know, that we've all got things that we can teach others if we're prepared to be a disciple of Jesus. It's a lifetime commitment, being a disciple. And sometimes you just got to step out in boldness when you're doing your one-to-one evangelism and you're inviting. I hear you had a great time yesterday at the barbecue. Lots of new faces and lots of folks who don't regularly come along to church. You know, well done. Somebody must have gone out there and invited them. And I was at a customer's house the other day, just doing a job. wasn't a long job. We were just kind of chatting away, and throughout the conversation, I kept thinking to perhaps I should invite her along to the barbie that we're going to do down at Sense Valley. There's a little voice that comes into your head now, and now she's going to think you're a nutter or something. She's just not gonna want to come along to that. What you're chatting about? But I just kind of put that voice behind me and I said, "Oh, but we're actually doing an event down at Sense Valley on the 29th. "Oh, yeah, I'd love to come along to that," she says. So, yeah, praise God for that. Keep on praying that you're going to come along. But I'm going to need some kind of invite to take to her, actually. So I'll see you guys later about that one. All right. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, when we step out in boldness, God is going to meet you. There are people that are out there that want to come to know Jesus. They may not know it themselves yet. But there are people out there that are going to respond to God if somebody would just take them the message. The first message is we've got to repent and believe. And that's where it goes on. That's how we start in our walk of being a disciple. So keep going, and we're never going to give up until that harvest comes in. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, we're going to just get into an atmosphere of prayer now. So I'm going to ask you to just kind of bow your heads. And we're going to pray. Okay, so if you're a believer, you've got two choices. You can either be a disciple or live in resistance to Jesus. That's the choices. And if your answer is, yeah, count me in. I want to truly be following Jesus, then God is loving it, because that's what he wants. Okay, and if you're saying to yourself, "Well, no, I'm quite happy as I am," well, you just take a nap for 5 minutes, because I'm not really going to be speaking to you. Okay. But, if you're aware, I'm going to do a collective prayer at the end, all right? So Yeah, you can be ready for that. If you're aware that you've been robbing God, you haven't been putting in your full tithe to God, well, now's a good time to repent, okay? And to get that set in mind, yeah, God, I just want to reestablish my giving to you. I don't want to rob from you anymore. I'm prepared to put you to the test because you said I could. And, you know, as soon as you do that, you're going to send up a faith signal to God, and it's going to open wide the windows of heaven, and he's going to pour out such a blessing upon you that you're not going to be able to contain it. And I suggest that if that is you, you act on it today. Think to yourself, yeah, I'm going to do something. I'm going to put something into the offering. I'm going to put an IOU in. Whatever it is, I'm going to do that. Or if God has been talking to you even about giving a gift to some ministry or someone, God's been speaking to you about it, you be prepared to do that. And you've been worried about your finances, well, here's some good news for you. You can repent of that too. You can put that behind you, because God is going to take care of you. He is Jehovah Jireh. And he's never going to forsake you. He's never going to leave you. And God, he's got some secrets that he wants to tell you. He's got some exciting things that there are going to be within your life. And if there's anything that has kind of spoken to you, you recognize that, you want to respond to God in some way, all I'm going to ask you to do is just kind of stand in your chair, and no one's going to lay hands on you or anything. It's just going to be a response that you make to God. And I'm going to say a prayer, and, you know, it will be a decision that you make between you and him, and then you walk it out as a disciple would. With God. So yeah, if God has spoken to you in some way, and there's some you want to make a response to him, what I'm going to do is ask you to stand up now, and then we're just going to close in prayer. I'll ask the band to come out, and we'll finish with a song after I've prayed. That's great. Some people are responding. It always makes it easier when someone else responds first, doesn't it? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Yeah, I want to thank you, Jesus, for your call that has gone down for the ages for disciples. I thank you, Lord God, that we're sitting here, or we're stood here, Lord, because somebody responded to you and said, yeah, I'm going to be a disciple. And down through the ages, people have spread your word, and now that word has come to us through your disciples. And Lord, we want to carry that on, Lord, until the end of the age, Lord God, when you come again in glory to take us to be with yourself. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for everybody, Lord, who's responding. You know exactly their heart, and I pray, Lord, that they've stood in faith, that you'd meet them, Lord, today. You give them the strength to be able to live out, Lord God, the call and the life, Lord, that you have for them. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them. I pray, Lord, that you'd show them some secrets, Lord, that you've got for them, Lord, in the days that are yet to come, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.